Let's take our Bibles in Luke chapter number 5. I want to begin reading in verse number 27. Verse number 27. The Bible said, "And after these things, he went forth," the he being Jesus here, "and he saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, Follow me." Boy, that's not very hard to understand, is it? Jesus said, "Follow me." Jesus is the good shepherd. And Jesus is looking for his sheep to follow him. And I believe it's important that we follow him, don't you? In these days, someone said, if you think you're leading and you look behind you and no one's following you, you're not leading, you're just going for a walk. I'm ringing up here, Brother Richard. I don't know, figure out what it is. Is it, have I got the wrong mic on possibly? We're okay? All right. We'll get it. Amen. You never mention them fellows back there when things go wrong, do you? Amen. But they're bigger than I am. So I'm not going to say too much about it. Amen. Amen. Appreciate their help. The Bible said, and he left all. This he here now would be Levi. He left all and he rose up and he followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. There was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with him. Now let me just say this. When you make up your mind you're going to follow Jesus, you want somebody else to go with you. The Bible said in verse 30, but their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And they said unto him, Why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink? And he said unto them, Can ye make the children of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. And I want you to notice these little parables right here now. They go hand in hand with what we've already read. And he spake also a parable unto them. No man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old. If otherwise then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. No man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man also, having drunk old wine, straightway desireth new, for he saith, Old is better. I'll be honest with you. Until I dug and dug and studied and studied, I think I really didn't understand what Jesus was saying here. But I want to share with you this morning on this thought, why some will never go out with the old and in with the new. Why some will never go out with the old and in with the new. There's a saying, especially as a old year ends and a new year begins, out with the old and in with the new. Here we're not talking about an old year and a new year. We're talking about an old life and a new life. We're talking about being made a new creature in Christ Jesus. We're talking about an old way of law and ordinances giving way to a new covenant. Hebrews calls it a better covenant. We're talking about the doing away with the blood of bulls and of goats and heifers and coming under the blood that was shed on an old rugged cross in the grace of God. Why some will never go out with the old and in with the new. That's the this morning. Please pray for us. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to look into the Word of God. And I pray, dear Father, this morning that you would clothe us in our calling. Give us, our Father, exactly what needs to be said. Help us to leave off anything, our Lord, that would not be pleasing in thy sight. Lord, speak to our hearts. Thank you, God, for the privilege, Lord, to give us, Lord, this day. Lord, I don't know how far we'll be going into this year, but whatever you give us, we want to go with Jesus, go for Jesus. And Lord, we want to be a blessing. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The first thing I want to give you this morning, I've just got three things. That gives us hope. I've just got three things this morning. But the first thing I want to give you this morning is this. The reason they won't go out with the old and in with the new, we're talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes in the Word of God, is they did not understand the portrait that was before them. When you look here, they're seeing a picture, but they don't understand it. You see, Levi, which is also called Matthew in the book of Matthew, is a tax collector. And to the Jews, it was it was despised among the Jews that they had to pay taxes to the Romans in that day. And then those that collected the taxes were especially despised, the publicans, the ones that were sitting there receiving the taxes. And the Bible said here, after these things, he went forth and he saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said, "Follow me." In Matthew 9:9, Jesus passed forth from thence. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. He saith unto him, "Follow me." And he arose and followed him. In Mark 2:14, as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, "Follow me," and he arose and followed him. Matthew is the Greek name. Levi is his Hebrew name. As a tax collector, Matthew, he worked for the Greek-speaking Romans. He gathered taxes from the Hebrew-speaking Jews. You remember how that Peter was called Simon, and Thomas was called Didymus, and Saul was called Paul. It was not uncommon in this day. And so I just want you to understand that Levi and Matthew are one and the same person. And God is using Levi to paint a picture of the grace of God right in front of them. And they don't understand the picture that God is painting. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" Well, how many knows that God still speaks to hearts and says, "Follow me"? Amen. But you know what you have to do to follow him? You have to deny yourself. You know what you have to do to follow him? You have to believe him. You know what you have to do to follow him? You have to be born again. You know what you have to do to follow him? You must, beloved, believe that the Word of God is where God speaks to us from, and that when he says, "Follow me," he wants us to take up our cross and follow him, even in this generation. There's a picture. There's a portrait of the grace of God. You see, most people in the Jewish culture would not have given the publican the time of day. I just want to stop and ask a question. How many's glad Jesus is not most people? Glory to God, I'll tell you, most people wouldn't have given me the time of day, but he came where I was and he invited me into his family. Said, "Follow me. I'll make you to become fishers of men." The picture, there's a portrait. Not only in Levi's life do you see the portrait, but look, the Bible said, look at verse 28. "And he left all." Brother Ralph, he didn't take time to take any notes. He didn't take time to count any money. He said, "Hey, I'm out of here. I've had enough of this." You know when people get help? When they get enough of their sinful life. "I've had enough of this. I'm out of here. Let somebody else take care of this mess. I'm going to go follow Jesus." There's a picture here.
not only in that he left all and he rose up and he followed him, but the word of God said, Levi made him a great feast. In other words, listen to me, that hymn right there is none other than the Lord of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ that loved us and died for us on an old rugged cross. Levi said, hey, I'm going to follow you, but man, I want to make a feast. I want you to come to my house. I want you to sit down with us. You're welcome, Lord, in my house. Now watch this. Not only did Levi make a great feast, but the Bible said there was a great company of publicans and others. I would say, Brother Rose, that there was a circle of them there, publicans. In other words, they were despised by the common people. So they had to have their own get-togethers and their own parties, so to speak. You know what Levi figured out? He figured out he had something that maybe another publican might want to get in on. He had trusted the Lord and he was following the Lord. He left all to follow the Lord. So he had a feast and said, y'all come to my house. There's somebody I want you to meet. What would it be if we lived our life this year like this? Y'all come to my house. There's somebody I want you to meet. His name is Jesus. I like this. Didn't just say the publicans. There's many other publicans. The Bible said here, let me look at the verse, a great company of publicans. And then the Bible said, and of others that sat down with them. Jesus is painting a portrait. He's painting a picture of the grace of God. Can you believe that the likes of him would invite the likes of us to sit down with him? The Pharisees, they couldn't understand it. You say, preacher, why didn't they want to go out with the old and in with the new? They didn't understand the portrait, the painting that was being produced right in front of their eyes. What was what the Bible said here? The Bible said here that the scribes and the Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with not only publicans, but sinners? You know what Levi realized? He realized, I'm not just a publican. I am a sinner also. Why would you eat with publicans and sinners? If you'll understand here, I'll get to this directly in the message. But the Pharisees are too proud to do such a thing. They're too self-righteous to do such a thing. They could never stoop to such a low level as to sit down at a table with publicans and sinners. I'll be honest with you. I've knocked on some doors since I've been in Bloomingdale and in my ministry before I came to Bloomingdale. Where the homes, listen to me, I'm just telling it like it is, were nothing short of nasty. They smelled bad. They looked bad. The trash was piled up everywhere. You had to wade through it to get to the door. You say, I wouldn't go to a door like that. I just want to stop serving. No, so you, Jesus would. Jesus wouldn't pay a bit of attention to the trash. He'd be wanting to look at that heart that's on the other side of that door and offer help. But the Pharisees in our generation are still the same. Well, I wouldn't go there. You tell me somewhere Jesus wouldn't go. To invite somebody to his table. Why? Why will they never go out with the old and in with the new? Number one, they did not understand the portrait that was before them. Number two, they did not understand the problem that was within them. They had a problem. Let me tell you this. If you're so full of pride that you think there's somebody in this world that you're better than them, they don't deserve a seat at God's table, you got a problem too. It ought to humble us to understand and realize that God has saved us and put us in His family, that we're going to heaven when we leave this world. There's a problem on the inside of them. You say, "Preacher, why does it touch your heart so?" Because I used to have the same problem. That P-R-I-D-E problem. Brother Wayne, that letter that was read this morning was written in humility. It was written in thankfulness and gratefulness. Watch what the Bible said in Zechariah chapter number 7 and verse number 12. The Bible said, "They made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts has sent in His Spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts." An adamant stone is very hard. It's a stone that could be used to make an axe head out of, or something else that you could chisel very hard material with. In Romans 2:4, the Bible said, "Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and the forbearance of longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." Beloved, these scribes, these Pharisees, these Sadducees in the Word of God had a heart that was hard. Let me confess this to you. Mine was too. But the Word of God said, "This is not thy word like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces." I'm so glad that God's Word, my friend, has the ability to crush the human's heart. Here, Levi gets help. Boy, I'd be interested in heaven, Brother Steve, to know how many other publicans got help. How many of them other sinners? There may have been somebody sitting at that table, Brother Gary, that thought something like this. If he can help one of them sorry publicans, I know he can help me. Yeah. Have you ever felt like that? If God can save me, He can save anybody. Yeah. Beloved, they didn't understand the problem that was in them. You see, there's a little bit of a play on words in these parables. Jesus is, He told them, "Having eyes, you see not. Having ears, you hear not." They had hardened their heart against the Lord and the things of God. Watch this now. What was the problem that was in them? You know, people are making New Year's resolution with so many. It's just going to be like in the parable here. It's going to be patchwork on an old garment. It may impress men, but it'll never impress the God of heaven. I thought about this, Brother Joe. I thought about your song that you sing. As God was preparing me to preach, the Bible said, "No man." What that means is it ain't going to work. No man is this dumb. No man is this dumb. You don't take a new suit and cut a patch out of it and bring it over here and sew it onto an old suit. He says, no man's that dumb. Number one, you ruin the new suit. And number two, if you attach the patch to the old suit, wherever you attached it, that's where it's going to tear out bigger the next time. Because it's rotten. It's threadbare. And I thought about Brother Joe's song. I took off the old coat and I put on the new. Now wait a minute. Wait a minute. You say, what's Jesus saying right there? Well, I never did hear Brother Joe say, "Well, I cut me a patch out of the new coat, but I'm going to keep wearing the old." I'm going to tell you right now, there are people in church on New Year's Day that won't go the rest of the year. They've made them a resolution. I'm going to go to church. And the reason they're not going to go is they don't understand that, honey, this old flesh can't be patched up. Hallelujah. What we need is not a new leaf. We don't need, my friend, just a new leaf. We need a new life in Christ. Jesus said, no man is going to take and cut a patch out of an old garment or out of a new garment and sew it onto an old. It don't work that way. It's kind of like Adam and Eve's patchwork. They got them a fig leaf and tried to sew it together and make them garments to cover their nakedness. How many realizes they were still naked in the eyes of God? Honey, you can turn over new leaf. You can make New Year's resolutions. You can do all you want to do. But until you get in on what God has already done at Calvary, that's what we sang about, the precious blood of Calvary's cross, you'll never know the joy of having a garment called the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. It's not patching up the old garment. It's putting on a new garment. It makes us fit for the kingdom of God. And so their problem, they didn't understand the problem that was within them. Jesus, he said, no man putteth a piece, a new garment upon an old. If otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. How many's done been down this road long enough? You know what, Brother Joe? I know you're a pretty smart man. Amen. I mean that. You got this figured out. The new still don't agree with the old. And the old still don't agree with the new. Amen. They don't agree one with another. I tell you, the best thing to do is take off the old coat and put on the new. Jesus has a new coat for you. The righteousness of the Lord Jesus. They didn't understand the problem that was within them. They lacked pliability. Watch this now. The Bible said here, no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. Now, when we look at that, we're probably thinking about a bottle like Coca-Cola or Pepsi comes in, or a wine bottle of today. These bottles back here were skins. And what happened with an old one, the old one has already been used. It's already stretched. It's already become brittle. So if you put the new wine in there, there has to be some pliability. That's why you put it in a new skin. And beloved, listen, when it expands and contracts, the skin can go with it and come with it and will keep it. Jesus said, nobody takes old new wine and pours it in an old bottle. Nobody does that. Because it ain't going to be long. If you've got it over your shoulder, it's going to be running down your side. It's going to be leaking out. But you know what a lot of people are doing? They're like the Pharisees. They're rigid. They're hard. They're not pliable. They think they got it all figured out. It's a list of do's and don'ts. Listen to me. We ought to do what God tells us to do, and we ought not to do what God tells us not to do. But the salvation that's by the grace of God is more than a list of do's and don'ts. They had that. Wait, they couldn't live up to their own list. And so they lacked pliability. They were very rigid. They lacked the ability to see themselves as sinners. They were very righteous in their own eyes. And then they lacked humility. They were full of pride. And so they couldn't see the problem that was on the inside. You see, the Bible said here, no man having drunk old wine straightway desireth new, for he saith the old is better. If you're not careful, you miss what Jesus is saying here. Because generally speaking, the old is better. But here, what Jesus is talking about is this new covenant that's coming. It's the grace of God. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to His mercy that He saved us. And they're wanting to stay with the Old Testament economy. Even the church at Galatia, the Judaizers came in and Paul said, "Who hath bewitched you? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh?" Beloved, if we got saved by the grace of God, we got saved because we had an encounter through the Holy Spirit with the Lord Jesus. And if we have a life that means anything for God, it's not going to be because we're trying, but it's going to be because we're trusting the one that lives in us, to work through us, to work for us. Here in the Bible, they didn't understand the problem that was within them. Let me give you this, and I'm done this morning. General Robert E. Lee, he was a devout follower of Jesus Christ. It is said that soon after the end of the American Civil War, he visited a church in Washington, D.C. General Lee, during a communion service, knelt down beside of a black man. Someone said to him, "I can't believe you did that." He said, "The ground is level at the foot of the cross." You know what I believe this morning? The ground is still level. Man's got money, man ain't got money. Man's got education, man ain't got education. Man's got a fine house or man lives in a camper out back. Don't matter. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. The last thing that I see in the message is that they failed to realize, they failed to recognize that there was a great physician among them. You see, honestly, how many of you all just love going to the doctor? You just can't wait to go to the doctor again. Now, Brother Ralph, when we get older than dirt, like Brother Larry Stallard, we just go whether we want to or not, don't we? Amen, amen. I just made some points with Brother Ralph, and I just lost a whole lot of points with Brother Larry. Amen. No, there comes a time in our life, someone gave us my wife and I and my family, this tray about that deep. I'm not trying to make you hungry, but I do need another drink of water. About that long and about that wide and about that deep with country ham sliced up on it. I renamed that country ham. I call it Jack Meat. I've had different ones tell me how Brother Jack loved that country ham, and Brother Houston tell me how he'd come in early of the morning and there'd be crumbs everywhere where he'd try and get them biscuits before Sister Geraldine got here. Could see what he is into. Amen. But you know, when a man my age is already taking a blood pressure pill, he probably better watch how much of that ham he eats. Now, there was a part of me that wanted to say to Miss Eve, "Don't you dare give none of that away. Don't you dare freeze any of it." But there's a reasonable part of me that says, "Oh, buddy, you better take it easy on that stuff." Amen. But the Bible said they that be whole need not a physician. We're praying for Sister Mary Sanders. She's going soon for another test. They've found an abnormality. And Sister Mary and Brother Wayne won't be satisfied till they get to the bottom of it. They've got to find out what's going on. But you know, this morning, if you're lost without God, It would be my prayer that you would get such a spirit about you that you would not be satisfied till you get to the bottom of it. That you would meet the great physician. They didn't realize, Brother Kevin, that the very one that had their healing was standing in their presence. Because they didn't even realize they were sick, Brother Joe. I like what one old preacher said. He said, the problem today is not getting people saved. It's getting them lost. It's helping them to understand that they do not know the Savior, and that people that do not know the Savior are lost and undone without God or His Son. Why? Why is it that some will never go out with the old and come in with the new? It is because they did not understand the portrait that was before them. They did not understand the problem that was within them. And they did not understand the physician that could heal them. Brother John, how many times when you was working down there at the press did somebody get saved by the grace of God? And somebody else back up with an attitude like this. Well, we'll see if he got it. We'll see. They didn't understand that there's a physician that can heal sinners. That can, my friend, give them life. Not only life eternal, but life abundant. That's what he wants to do. I don't know about you this morning, but I'm glad I'm not so foolish that I'm going around trying to patch the old garment. I'm glad the Lord let me understand I needed a new garment. I'm glad I'm not so rigid that I can't understand that God's grace is for the publicans. God's grace is for the sinners. God's grace is for whosoever will. And I'm glad that there's a physician that I can point men and women, boys and girls to who can take care of whatever their problem is. I'm just glad this morning you've went out with the old, come in with the new. God wants to give us a new heart. Take out that old heart, that stony heart of flesh, and put in a new heart where we can be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Some will never have a new heart. They fail to see the picture. Just like these Pharisees, they don't understand they have a problem, and they really don't believe Jesus is the physician that can take care of that problem. Let's bow for prayer this morning. Father, thank you today for the privilege to preach the Bible. Thank you, Lord, for helping me to understand a little more clearly these parables in the Word of God. And Lord, I pray today. I know there's people here, Lord, that they still have on the old garment. I believe, Lord, one of the reasons they still have on the old garments is because they like the old garment. They love it. I pray, God, the day will come when they'll get sick of the old garment. They'll realize, Lord, that the old garment is going to lead them to hell. I pray the day will come, Lord, when they'll run to the great physician. I pray, Lord, the day will come when they'll look down and understand their need of the righteousness of God that comes only through a new birth. God, I pray today that those that have been saved by the grace of God would realize, our Lord, there's no room for pride. There's no room for us to look down upon others. But Lord, we must realize that what you've done for us
you want to do for them. Help us, we do pray.